This message is presented to you by Christian Celebration Center. Our prayer is that you enjoy this recording and that it's a blessing to your life. You can find all of our resources by visiting cccmidland.com.
I'm going to begin by reading a passage at the end of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. The text says, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. This morning I continue and then finish this first series of 2018 called Accelerate, and we've talked about vision, God's vision for us to honor the King, which we're doing with our lives and in our worship this morning. Absolutely, we honor Him as well by experiencing our next step, by taking that next step toward Him in our faith journey, as Cheyenne's going to do in just a little bit, and as many of us are wanting to do as we spend time with the Lord and we get engaged and get involved with what God's doing. We're taking our next step, and then this today, I'll be focused on influence. I'll be focused on influence, influencing your world, the world that God has placed you in. Let's pray. God, we thank you for 2018 that you have seen fit to place us here for such a time as this. We don't know when you'll return. We don't know how long we have, but Lord, we're here now. You've given us breath to live, to praise you, to live for you, and to influence others. And I pray that we will be a church that accelerates in this area throughout this year so that no one in our community and beyond would miss out on hearing about you and hearing the good news by our inactivity in this area. And I pray that we will be people that step out and step forward into all that you have. In your name, amen. You can be seated. Rick Warren, a pastor in California, some time ago shared a nationwide survey he had come across. And in the survey, it stated that 89% of those surveyed said the purpose of their church was to care for their needs. 11% in this nationwide survey said that the purpose of their church was to reach the lost. And I'm so thankful that I'm part of a church that doesn't really align with that survey. Because we get that this church is not just about us, right? We get that the Sunday morning service and the ministries and the outreaches and the things that we do is not just about us. We care about each other. We want to continue to do that. But the purpose of us coming together, the purpose of us being together, the purpose that God has for us on this earth, it's got to be way beyond just me. It's got to be way beyond just, okay, I want my needs taken care of. It is looking beyond. It's looking beyond. A couple weeks ago, I shared about a missions trip that we took to Atlanta. I want to share just briefly about a missions trip that we took to another place called El Salvador. And we did this a couple times. The first one was back in 2013, and it was an amazing experience. For me, it's very memorable. There's always those things you take out of a missions trip. But for me, one of the memorable things that I tried to forget and couldn't was that over half of our team got sick. And that had never happened to me on any missions trip that I've led around the world. Never. But on this trip, 11 of the 21 team members came down with something, and we were sick for about a day or two. And it was ugly. Ugly. On one of the days, a big portion of our team couldn't even go out in ministry, and so I went with the rest of the team that could, even though I was sick myself, and nobody else volunteered to be the clown that day, as we were doing a lot of kids' ministry on the streets and in the schools, and so I reluctantly raised my hand to be the clown, and as I'm raising my hand, I'm like, Keith, you're an idiot. What are you doing? I felt horrible. I was so sick. And so they painted my face, and I had the clown costume on. And I'm supposed to just do one thing, and that is extreme energy for the entire day, like over and above. And so inside the clown costume, I'm like, this is terrible. I just want to like find a hole, crawl into, and get in the fetal position, suck my thumb. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to do. And here I am, the clown. I didn't throw up on any kids that day, thankfully. But at the end of the day, I came back to the church that we were staying at in some far-off city. And we were actually having to take some of our team members to a different compound, the main missionary compound, so they could get medical attention. I mean, we were pretty sick. And I was thinking, man, I wish I had a seat in that car, you know, like going back and getting medical attention. But I stayed. But here I am on the street, kind of directing traffic here. All right, you three, you're sick enough. You go in here. There's another one. They're sick enough. The rest of you, okay, man up, go in there. And I'm trying to direct in traffic and talking to the missionary helpers that are there. And one of the missionary helpers looks at me and says, Pastor Keith, it's really hard to take you seriously right now. And I'm like, what? And I had forgotten. I've got the clown costume and the clown face. And it, yeah, anyway. Interesting trips every time. But really the most memorable thing for me was stepping into a country that was being affected, notably affected by the gospel of Jesus Christ. This country, people in this country had decided to go there and to make it their mission and vision to share the gospel with everybody in that country. Vision to share the gospel with every kid in that country year after year. They also had 24/7 prayer going on, which ignited that vision and held that vision up. They've been doing that for 19 years. And so walking into that country, you felt something different. We could just tell that the kingdom was advancing in the schools and in the neighborhoods and in the government. The opportunities and the doors that were opening up. I have never been to a country where it felt like that. Like the kingdom was advancing forcefully and was taking over that country. And that's the way I believe it's supposed to be. Prayer igniting a vision and people going out and saying, you know what? We want our entire country to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. You see, the win is not that this auditorium is filled with people on a Sunday. I mean, the greatest win is not that on a Sunday we have church. The greatest win is what happens Monday through Saturday when we are the church. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. That is what God has called us to be about. That is what God has called us to do. And we know that that begins with prayer. That's why we had GPI this last Monday. And I saw people crying out to God, not just for the countries around the world, but even crying out to God for their neighbors and their friends and their coworkers. Calling out to God, God, give us opportunities to influence. God, work in their heart. Change hearts. Transform lives as you've transformed ours. It begins with prayer. And that's where it began with Jesus when he was talking to his disciples. If you look at the last verse that I read, verse 38, Jesus is instructing the disciples to do what? To pray. And he says to them, ask the Lord. He gives them this prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He was asking them to pray, and I'm sure the disciples obeyed and followed that instruction, and I can just imagine that in that moment, they all kind of got into a circle, and they began to pray. And just how my mind works, I kind of think of it like this. They're finished praying. They've prayed for workers to go out into the harvest field. They've prayed for people to go out into the villages and the cities and the towns and the areas that they have lived in and that they've traveled to, and they get done praying. And they're kind of, you know, letting go of the hands. Maybe Jesus had them hold hands. I don't know if he had them hold hands. They let go of their hands, and, you know, we always do, like, wipe the sweaty palms off. They kind of did that, and then they're like, you know what? That is a good prayer. And then, like, Jesus, you are right on. Like, there are people in our villages that are, they're far from God. And I bet they started to describe that a little bit. You know, like the people, some of the people I used to work with, the way they talk, it was craziness. The way that some of my neighbors are and some of the things that are their priorities and their pursuits, like, oh my goodness, it's messed up. Jesus, we live in a messed up world. I'm fine. I'm so glad that you finally asked us to pray about this. We need to pray about this because this world needs God. And I could see them just continuing to go on and on and on until they look over and they know it's Jesus. And Jesus, I can just imagine, has this contagious smile on his face. From ear to ear, he's smiling. And the disciples, as they're going on, are like, all right, what's up, Jesus? What's up? And I can just imagine Jesus saying, guys, I've got great news. We just prayed that God would send out laborers into the harvest field. And God just answered our prayer. Like, boom, like that. The disciples are like, for real? Like that, does it work like that? We prayed and God answered. And Jesus is like, yeah, that, it just happened. The Father just answered your prayer right then. Disciples are like, that's great. Well, what's the answer? And Jesus looked at them, I can imagine, and said, well, you are the answer. You are the answer. God just had 12 people right here that are saying, God, send out laborers. You pretty much volunteered. And he's like, I'm going to send you out. You're going to be the answer to your own prayer. And the reality is that you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, are the answer to someone's prayer. You are the answer for that grandma who's been praying for her grandson, for that mom that's been praying for her daughter. You are the answer of that person that's been praying for that relative that lives in Midland, Michigan, and they live in California, and God sends someone to them. And the reality is that you are the answer to this prayer. I don't know if you've ever prayed this prayer, God, send out laborers into the harvest field. But if you have, I have great news for you. God just answered it this morning, right now. You're sitting there. You are the answer to that prayer. And Jesus looked at his disciples and like, you guys, yes. And look at the very next verse. In Matthew's gospel, it is the very next scene. Matthew chapter 10, if you just turn a page as it is for me or for you, going down to the very next verse, which is chapter 10, verse 1. Remember, the chapter headings and verse references were not in the original manuscript. The next verse says this: Jesus called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Right after getting done with this prayer time, Jesus is like, all right, you 12, come around here. I got something for you to do. And the next couple of verses, it's described to us who these disciples were, a little bit of their background, their name, who their father was, and you see a little bit of that. And then Jesus very quickly says this in verse 5. These 12, Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Jesus is beginning to give them his instructions. They've been the answer to the prayer, but Jesus isn't just going to send them out. He's going to give them instructions. And what you're going to see as we kind of fly through this part of the passage, that he gave them very detailed instructions, very detailed explanations of what they're going to face. You see that he tells them where to go and where not to go. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. Don't go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. He tells them where to go, where not to go. He tells them specifically who to talk to and who not to talk to. He goes on to tell them what to take and what not to take. I mean, this was like the shortest missions trip packing list ever, because he basically told them, don't take anything, all right? I mean, don't take any gold, silver, copper, no bag for the journey, no extra shirt, no sandals, no staff. And the disciples are like, what? I mean, my iPhone, can I bring that? Is that allowed? I don't know. Pastor Keith allows that. And so they get ready for this mission trip, and he tells them exactly what to take and what not to take. He tells them where to stay and where not to stay. You see that he says, this is what you're to do when people accept you, and this is what you're to do when people reject you. He even went on to tell them what they should expect, which I think is good. You know what he told them they should expect? Persecution and suffering. He goes through all of the logistics. He gives them all of the details. He's like, all right, get ready. You know, the Airbnb reservations are made. Your Uber driver's been contacted. You are ready to go. You've got all of the details. Here you go. Here are your instructions. But then there's another instruction that I think is maybe one of the most important, and that is, what do you say? Because you could want to influence someone. You could want to influence a person that lives around you. You want to reach out to them. But isn't it kind of important what comes out of your mouth? And Jesus took the time to give them all of these detailed instructions to the point where they knew what to put into their belt, what type of bag not to take. I mean, they knew all of these minute and, you might think, seemingly insignificant details. But yet when it came to your message, when it came to what to say, in this particular passage, Jesus didn't really give them a lot of words. We see what he told them to say, what this message would be in verse 7. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. As we've talked in the last couple of weeks, the kingdom, the rule and the reign of the king. The king has arrived. And the disciples are being sent out by Jesus to proclaim that message that, okay, I don't know what you think is going on, but I got to tell you something amazing just happened. The king, like God, just arrived on the scene. He just arrived on the scene. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Let me tell you a little bit about what that means for you and for me. The king has arrived. The kingdom of God has come near. And this was the message that the disciples were specifically sent out to proclaim. I want to talk about that word for a few minutes because I believe that it's very significant. It would have been for the disciples, and I believe it is for us as well. The word proclaim in the Greek is the word kerusso, and it basically means to declare or announce a message. Now, the kerusso, or the message, was proclaimed by the kerux. The kerux was, in our terminology, a spokesman for the king. And this was the one who was most privileged in the entire kingdom. The reason why it was such a true privilege and such a special thing for someone to be the kerux was because they had continual access to the king. Like when others couldn't go into the king's presence, the kerux would be summoned to come into the king's presence. And so he or she was able to be there in order to hear what the king said. And here's how it worked. The king would summon the spokesman, the kerux. He would summon that person to come into his presence, and then he would dictate to them exactly what he wanted them to say. And it was so important that this spokesman got it right because he was speaking for the king. He had to get it exactly right. It had to be accurate. It had to be precise. And so he would take meticulous notes with his writing instrument and his paper in order to get exactly what the king had said. Now, one of the special parts of this relationship was that the kerux could actually ask the king questions. Not question his authority. I mean, that would probably cost him his life. But could ask for clarification. So king, you said this, and I have that down. Could you help me flesh that out a little bit? Could you give me a greater understanding, an illustration, a parable of what that might mean? Could you help me understand exactly what you're trying to get across? And it was up to the kerux to understand what the king was saying, because if the kerux went out there and misrepresented the king, that was really, really, really bad. That would affect the kingdom. Now, kerux understood that what he wrote down and what he was going to present was the most important thing that he was even about, is why he existed. It was why he was chosen for this position. It was why he even had a position, was to communicate what the king was trying to get across to his people. And the kerux understood that not only the words that he spoke mattered, it was also his actions. Because if he came across rude to the people, that would reflect negatively on the king. Hear that. If he spoke in a nice, in a wise manner, in a friendly manner, in a gracious manner, that would reflect positively on the king. And the kerux, or the spokesman, understood deeply, deeply that it was a privilege to have that access to the king, that it was a serious responsibility to get the information exactly as the king had presented it so that he could communicate what the heart of the king was. And then he also understood deeply that his actions, public and private, would ultimately affect other people's opinion of the king. What a responsibility. And Jesus said to his disciples, or in his kingdom, go and proclaim. Go and be the kerux. Go and be the ones that announce and declare correctly, accurately, precisely what's happening. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Luke 9:6 says that's exactly what the disciples did. They set out and they began to proclaim the good news. King has come. And they also began to heal people everywhere. They went not out just with a phrase, just with a script. They went out with the authority and the power of the king, speaking literally for the king. Now, when we hear that, there might be some of us in this place that get really excited about that. We're like, yes! Like, we get to have access to the king. We get to hear what the king is saying as we're in the word and in his presence. And we actually get to go and tell people this news. Now, there are some of us that get very excited about that. What a privilege. What an opportunity. There are others of us that are here that might be thinking, you know what? I'm not so sure about that. I mean, that's a big responsibility. I mean, it takes time to be in the word and to be in the prayer and to get to know the king. And that takes some guts to step out of my comfort zone and actually talk to someone about the king, about King Jesus, about what he's done in my life. I mean, that's not easy. That's not necessarily applauded in our society, if you know what I mean. I mean, if you share something at school or at work, in the lunchroom or whatever it might be, someone's going through something and you offer to pray for them even right in that moment. I mean, sometimes people appreciate that, but that's not always applauded in our world. And it wasn't applauded in their world either. Remember, Jesus told the disciples what to expect. Persecution and suffering. But he sent them out and they went out. Maybe you're somewhat like the disciples and somewhat like I am at times when I can be somewhat hesitant to open my mouth and share about Jesus. Well, Jesus, understanding the disciples' dilemma and understanding that we as humans with just a heart that is pure of God, I want to be used by you, but yet, oh, sometimes that can be so hard, he gives them some basic reminders, and I want to share those with you today. They're found, if you'll look with me, in verse number 8, the last portion of that verse. It says, freely you have received, freely give. It's in the context of heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. It's in the context of go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And he says to them, remember, disciples, remember, friends, freely you have received. Freely you have received. Received. I'm sure the disciples in that moment began to reflect on all that Jesus had done for them. How many of them had been sick? They were healed. How many of them had been oppressed? And Jesus delivered them. How many of them, all of them, had seen Jesus open blind eyes? Had seen him raise a little boy from the dead? They had seen all of that. They saw what had happened, and even in their own lives and in their own families had seen the power of God. And Jesus says, remember, freely you received, literally, undeservedly you received. All of those things that you experienced in your life, all of those things that you saw with your own two eyes, you didn't deserve that. The purpose that Jesus infused into their life when he went to these people who some of them were down and outers, and he went to them and he tapped them on the shoulder and says, I want you. I'm choosing you. I want you to come with me, to follow me, to be part of my tribe. I want you to be part of my kingdom. And as Jesus began to remind them of what they had received, I think their faith began to build up a little bit. And they began to maybe have some more compassion for the people around them when they realized, you know what? What we received, well, it's the same thing that what we deserved, it's the same thing that we deserved. Judgment. Anybody deserve anything other than that? Not that I know of. We deserve judgment. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But yet, Jesus said, undeservedly, you received some things. What have you received? As a follower of Jesus, what have you received? Have you received God stepping into your life? Have you received the rescue of Jesus Christ in your life? What about his mercy? Have you received forgiveness of your sins? Have you received the promise of eternal life? Have you received his grace? Have you received purpose? What have you received? And Jesus reminded those guys on that day, hey, remember, you didn't deserve any of that. I'm telling you to go out and preach the kingdom. And you might be nervous, you might be hesitant, but I want to first of all tell you, remember what you've received freely. You've received. And then, out of that, freely give. Here's the deal. If I have a $100 bill, I have the capacity to give it to you. All right? If I don't have a $100 bill on me, and you say, can I have a $100 bill? I can't give it to you. I can't produce that $100 bill. I'm not a printing press. I can't do it. If I have a treasure, I have the capacity to give the treasure. If I don't have the treasure, I can't give it. Think about in Acts chapter 3 when a beggar wanted to have silver and gold, wanted to have some coins to make it through one more day, and the disciples didn't have silver or gold. Did they give the beggar who was lame silver or gold? No, because they didn't have silver or gold. But what they did have, they gave. Jesus said, freely you've received so much, now freely give. If you have it, you can give it away. If you've received forgiveness, you can forgive. If you've been shown mercy, you can show mercy. If you've received grace, you can give grace. Okay? If you have received empowerment, you can pray for people to be healed. If you have received experiences of being healed, of God encounter, having given you an encounter with him, if you've experienced him speaking to you, then with faith you can then tell someone, I believe God can help you. Well, how do you know? Well, I've experienced it. Let me tell you about it. Freely you have received, freely give. And I would submit to you, and I'm talking to myself, that we have something very, very powerful to give. We've received it, and we have power then to give it. And that is the good news. And that is the grace of Jesus Christ. That is what God has done in us. We can share with other people. This world, I'm telling you what, is starving for good news. We check out the news headlines. Some of us check it daily. And I rarely read through the top news headlines and feel uplifted and encouraged. Like, this is great. We're going in the right direction. This world is getting it figured out. No way. It can be discouraging and depressing. I'm telling you what, this world is starving for good news. And we have good news. Not just good news, we have the greatest news. That our sin condemns us before God. And payment is required for our rebellion. But wait. God's Son, King Jesus, came, and he offers to step into your life, rescue, heal, save, deliver. Come follow the King. Come follow the Creator. Come follow the one for whom you were created. Come follow the one who can give you purpose. Come follow the one who has all the answers. Come follow the one who can enable you to not grieve like the rest of people when they go through difficult times. Come to the one who is hope. We have great news. And this news is meant to be shared. As a follower of Jesus, it is in your DNA to share Jesus. Okay? It is the DNA of the kingdom to advance. And it is in your DNA as a spiritual follower of Jesus Christ to not hold on to the news of Jesus Christ, but to share it. To not hold on to the love, but to share it. Freely you've received, freely give. Around here we call that influence. The love and the power of God affecting someone through you. God's love, God's compassion, God's power, God's ability to heal and to save and deliver. Us having the opportunity to affect someone else's life. God literally doing that through us. 2 Corinthians 5, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's representatives, as though God were making his appeal through us. That is in our DNA. That is our spiritual call. God has created us to be about sharing the wonderful deeds of God. Influence, the love and the power of God affecting someone through me. Notice it's not your love or your power, because I don't know about you, but mine seems to deflate at times. And something happens, and I'm like, what in the world? Where's the love? Where's the power? It's not my love or my power. It's the love of God. It's God's love flowing through me. It's God's power flowing through me and flowing through you that can affect somebody's life. Influence. Well, if that be the case, how can we be about that? Like, what are some specifics? I want to just throw out some things in here. They might seem specific, they might not be, but just to get you thinking as you go through this week, that every single one of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, no matter how long you've been serving God, you can influence someone this week. Sometimes we put all the pressure on ourselves and we think influence or impacting someone is just praying with them, and they're ready to accept Jesus. And that is awesome, and that is influence. Well, let's understand, our journey wasn't like that. We didn't wake up one morning, the day after we were born, and got down on a baby knee and say, Jesus, I'm ready to get saved. We went on what's called a faith journey, right? We went on a journey of next steps. Influence is helping people take those next steps, bringing Jesus into the conversation. It could be praying with someone in the name of Jesus. They're going through a difficult time, and often we want to say, hey, I'll be praying for you, and that's a great thing to say, and then follow through and pray. But what about praying for them right then and there on the phone? What about praying for them right then and there on social media or in the lunchroom or as you're traveling with that person carpooling to work? What about, can I pray with you right now? You mean right now? Like out loud? Yeah, you don't have to pray out loud. I just would love to pray for you. Pray in the name of Jesus. Bringing Jesus into the conversation, into the atmosphere, that is influence. Sometimes it's imparting some faith. I mean, many of you have experienced God healing you, God touching your life, God coming through, God providing in this situation or that situation. It's an impartation of faith saying, as they're going through a difficult situation and as they're talking to you about it, you know what? I believe God can help you. You know, I believe God can heal you. Whoa. I believe God has a plan for your life. You're imparting faith. All of a sudden, that human logic and analytical left brain thinking is shaken a little bit. Like, what? God? Like, God can heal? God cares? You mean the Creator? There is a Creator? And He might have a plan for my life? It's an impartation of faith to get people to think, yeah, maybe there is more. Maybe there is something. It could be inviting a person to a Sunday service, as many of you do, or to an event that we have as like an outreach event, like Sing Noel. So many of you invited people. You think about not just Sing Noel, but the Wild Game Dinner that's coming up. You think about the marriage conference. I mean, there are different events that we do, not just to help us, but to give us opportunities to influence someone. And inviting someone is a great way to influence someone. What about sharing a little bit of your story? As they're going through something, you know what's crazy? Like, I actually went through something like that. I mean, I'm not saying it's like your situation and it was that tough, but it reminds me a couple years ago, my wife and I were going through this, or my kids and I were going through this, or I had this hospital stay, or whatever it is, and you share a little bit of your story and how God helped you through that, and how God brought you through that. That's influence. You're bringing God, you're bringing Jesus into the conversation, you're bringing Him into the radar of their life, and He might not have been there already. It's talking to them maybe about creation. It's a discussion, not an argument, a discussion about the truth of God's Word, about the reliability of Scripture. It's a discussion about where this world came from. It's a discussion about purpose and how you know that there is purpose for your life. It's any of those things. It might be answering a question truthfully. Well, why don't you party on the weekend with everybody else?
Well, I'm kind of busy that weekend,
No, tell the truth. Why? Because you have greater purpose. You know? Because God has saved you from some of those things. And you know what I'm saying? Answer the question with God in there. Give the real reasons. Well, why didn't you cheat on your time card? Why don't you cheat on your taxes? Answer the truth. It's because of Him and what He's done in your life and who He is and how you want to please Him. Why is it that you don't laugh at those jokes? Why is it that you don't make fun of those people whenever we do? Why is it that you go to church? Why are you humble? Why are you so different? Why don't you let your kids take part in that? You see what I'm saying? It's just answering a question as simple as that, but using the truth. Well, it's because of God. It's because of my relationship with Him, because I want to please Him. You're influencing people. The love and the power of God affecting someone through you, and it's in your DNA, my DNA, to do that. Now, the disciples at this point, they've heard all the instructions. They've heard freely you've received and freely give. And I kind of imagine that Jesus still saw some concern on their face because he said something to them. I'm getting ready to read it to you in a moment. I think he saw on their face like, okay, Jesus, we're with you, but this is kind of scary. You know, it's like me, I'm pretty confident if I'm walking on level, solid ground. But put me on a 20-foot diving platform and I'm supposed to jump into the water, there's going to be a look of concern on my face. And I know some of you just do a beautiful swan dive. No prob. Not me, okay? I'm looking down there. I'm telling you what, I'm trying to get away from the edge. There's a look of concern on my face. I have a healthy respect for water and for heights. And so I'm kind of backing up a little bit. And I could kind of see the disciples doing that a little bit. Because Jesus said this to them to reassure them. Verse 19. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Don't worry. Don't worry. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Jesus wanted to reassure the disciples. You're being sent out, but guess what? You're not alone. The Spirit of your Father, the Holy Spirit, is going to be with you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to empower you. He's going to give you the words to say. You're not going to be alone. You're not standing out there on the edge of that cliff all alone, wondering if you're going to fall to your death. The Holy Spirit is going to be with you to help you in that opportunity. Because God wants people to be influenced more than you even want them to be. And God loves people, every person, more than you love anybody. And so he calls us to influence them. One of my favorite influence stories is one that I've shared in the past, but I believe it bears repeating. It's about a young lady named Elena, a really, really special young lady who loves the Lord. And several years ago, she was leaving the Thrive Student Service, and on the way home, in the car, as she was heading home, it was like the Lord impressed on her to talk to a certain girl at school and to give her a specific message. Now, two things were very difficult about that. One is Elena didn't really know this girl. All she knew was that she was super popular. Now, that's hard for a middle schooler, right? She was super popular. The other thing is God had given her a specific message, which wasn't going to be easy to share. The Lord impressed on this Elena, this eighth grade girl, to go up to this popular girl who she didn't really know that well and say, I feel like I need to tell you this. Hold on. Don't give up. God has a plan for your life. And Elena, as you can imagine, wrestled with that, right? She wrestled with that, like, oh, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, like, oh, I don't want to do this. This is so weird. Like, this is crazy. But God brought her through that, and she did it. She walked up to this girl who was popular and said, I feel like I need to tell you something. Hold on. Don't give up. God has a plan for your life. And when Elena shared those specific words to this young lady in school, this young lady looked at her and said, I had already decided to kill myself. And this message means so much to me. God used a little eighth grade girl to save somebody's life from the enemy's plans. That's influence. The love and the power of God affecting someone through you. I believe you are the answer to someone's prayer. I believe God is going to set you up with opportunities this week. I believe God already has them picked out. I believe the door has already been opened. He's waiting for us just to be willing. Waiting for us to be willing to be the answer to our own prayer. God, send out laborers into your harvest field. I want people to come to know you. I want people to experience you. And God is saying, done, answered, go. Be an influencer. CCC, be a church of influence. Be a church that says, we want to reach the lost. We care about people. And we want to do whatever it takes, to pray, to go, to reach them. Would you please bow your heads? In our service thus far, we have sung these praises to the Almighty God. And for those that are here that this might be new to you, or maybe you've been around for a while, but still you're not there where you're like, oh, I want to like sing to God. Like these people act like they really love God. It's like they have a relationship with him. And as we're talking even today about telling others about Jesus, about the Lord, it's like, I don't really know him well enough to tell people about him. I've never even stepped into that relationship that they seem to talk about around here, a relationship with God. Well, I want you to know that you have that opportunity today. We want to give you that opportunity where you can even over the next few moments, invite the King, King Jesus, into your life. For him to come in and to bring his rule and his reign into your life. For him to be your Lord and to be your Savior, meaning the one who would take away your sins, wash those away, and make you a new creation in him. Not just so that you can have eternity with him, but so that you can have abundant life even now. A life when you're not alone ever, a life where God is with you. I want to give that opportunity for those that are here today, whether on the main floor or in the balcony, to say, you know, today's my day. I want to step into a relationship with Jesus. I want to get right with God. I want to take that step. How many would lift a hand right now so that I can pray with you? I want to be right with God. You can look up here. What would it look like in someone's life this week, next week, or the next few months, or tomorrow, if you reached out to them with the love and the power of God? What if that was the very day God had ordained for them to hear the name of Jesus? What if that was the very day God had ordained for them to finally hear a testimony by someone that they already respect? Maybe it's an answer that is given of a question that they've been asking for some time. What would it look like for you to be the Kairos, to be the spokesperson for the King this week, in some way, shape, or form? Here's what I'd like to ask you to do so that this can be narrowed down and very concrete and specific for us when we walk out of here, and that is, I'd like you to think about one person. Often influence happens with people that we don't know, we connect with, that God leads us to, like Elena's story, but often, and I'll say most often, influence happens with the people that are around us. God has you where he has you for a reason and for a purpose. And would you be able to think of one person, one name, one actual living being that you work with, that you play sports with, as a parent on one of your kids' teams, that is a neighbor, a family member? Okay. Can you think of one person? Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to put that into your phone. Just name of one person, okay? Doesn't have to be your screensaver, but just name of one person. In the bulletin, maybe that's what you have in front of you. You could write down a name in your notes, in your journal. Just write down a name. Would you do that right now? We want to take 30 seconds. Grab a pen, grab your phone, make a note. If you don't have either of those, make a mental note. You can write it down later. Just one person. One person. One name that you could be praying for. That you could be praying, God, would you open up a door? I want to influence them in some way. If it's a little way, it's a big way. We kind of put levels on it. Let's kind of put that away. It's just the love and the power of God affecting someone through you. Before Jesus sent the disciples out, before he even said to pray for workers to go out, it said in the text that Jesus had compassion. And so I want to pray for you, that we will be people of compassion who care so much that we'd be willing to step out of our comfort zone in order for the love and the power of God to affect someone through us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for our time together. You are so faithful to invite us into your presence and to meet with us. And as we've heard your word today, we've heard a challenge. This is the disciples heard the challenge to go. We hear that challenge today from the word, from your heart. Lord, in order to do that, we need compassion. And so I pray that you will flood our hearts with care and concern and compassion for the people around us. God, may we not be those who look past others or those who are too busy to notice others. God, help us to have compassion for the people around us, to love them so much that we'd want them to experience what we've experienced. Empower us, Lord, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, to be courageous and bold witnesses. And God, I pray that this will be a week of influence moments, a week when many people have Jesus placed on the radar of their life through our words, through our actions. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to Christian Celebration Center podcast. We hope that you found this helpful. For more sermons, service times, or to start your next step, visit our website at cccmidland.com.